We'll gather around, children, and let Uncle David tell you a story. A story from a long time ago in a land far away. A story about a Jewish farmer called Jonathan and his trip to the city. Jonathan ben Hosea sighed as he loaded up the donkey again. The small group of travellers had been 4 days on the road from the other end of Judah. Everyone was tired and cranky and hungry and dusty. But tonight they'd be in Jerusalem, and the thought of it brought a smile to Jonathan's face. They'd be staying with family. There'd be hot baths, soft beds, broad smiles and friendly hugs. Best of all, there'd be the Passover meal, the reason they'd come to Jerusalem, to celebrate with family and then to celebrate together as a nation in the temple. Passover was a time to remember God's salvation in Egypt, to remember his judgment passing over his people and falling on their Egyptian captors instead, to remember his miraculous rescue from slavery, his powerful miracles, his extraordinary redemption, and finally, to remember God's faithful, long-suffering guidance, bringing them into the promised land, this land flowing with milk and honey and all sorts of good things. Yes, thought Jonathan, Passover was a time to remember. And it was a time to thank God for his help in the present, to thank him for his daily provision and protection, for safety and family and food, a time to rejoice in God and enjoy the good things he'd given them. Though, thought Jonathan, as usual, it was never a good time to drop everything and come to Jerusalem because work was extra busy on the farm. Animals giving birth, weeds sprouting up, everything blown in by the hot northerly wind. Not enough rain, as usual, for this time of year. To make matters worse, thought Jonathan, the neighbour's cattle had broken down the fence and trampled his barley, and those rotten neighbours, they just laughed. And his children, they always fought like cats and dogs. They were slow to do their chores. They were quick to argue. They were no help at all. And then there was Miriam, his wife. She'd been so sick with her latest pregnancy, he had to leave her at home, and only weeks to go until the birth. He didn't know what he would do if anything happened to her. Jonathan prayed that she'd be all right. Jonathan finished loading up his donkey, gathered his kids together and hit the road one last time at the back of the group of travellers as they wound their way to Jerusalem. As he walked, he dwelt on the troubles and the trials he was facing. When would things get better? Where was God in all of this? Couldn't God see how faithful he'd been? Didn't that count for anything? It was so easy to shift his gaze off the wonder of God and to be distracted by the worries of his life. Jonathan's troubles were interrupted by the sound of singing from the travellers up front. Joel on the lyre and Rachel on the flute and everyone joining in singing the Psalms of Ascent. They were travelling songs, joyful and melodic and rhythmic, songs that brought a smile to your face and a purpose to your step. After a few minutes of singing them, you forgot all about your sore feet and your aching shoulders and the worries of the farm. They were familiar songs. They were songs the people sang every year as they travelled, songs about the struggles of life, about doubts and difficulties, about God's goodness and faithfulness, about his hand of protection in every situation. They sang through Psalm 120, I call on the Lord in my distress and he answers me. Then Psalm 121, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Jonathan was feeling better already. He quietly joined in, mouthing the words he knew so well. He was glad to be reminded of God's protection. He sang Psalm 122, I rejoiced with those who said to me, let's go up to the house of the Lord. Yep, he thought, that's where we're headed. We're going to God's house. Psalm 123, I lift up my eyes to you whose throne is in heaven. The road began to climb they were getting closer to Jerusalem. Psalm 124, if the Lord hadn't been on our side, the flood would have engulfed us, they sang. Amen to that, nodded Jonathan, his thoughts returning to his troubled farm and his lovely wife Miriam. And then just as the road reached the top of another hill, they rounded the corner, and there in the distance, Jerusalem, the city of David, its very presence, a reminder of God's goodness and faithfulness in bringing the people into the promised land. Jerusalem, he thought, solid, dependable, sure, certain, God's protection, God's promises kept it safe. Its walls, high and imposing, their foundations thick and sturdy, perched on the top of a natural mountain, Mount Zion, surrounded by a natural barrier of steep slopes that led up to its walls that made it so difficult for invaders to approach. As Jonathan paused to take in the spectacle, he took a swig of water from his water skin. And as he prepared himself for the final climb to Jerusalem, the people began to sing Psalm 125, another song of ascent. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. Jonathan liked the sound of that, like Mount Zion. The city's foundations dug deep into the bedrock. Like Mount Zion, solid and dependable and unshakable, safe and confident, because they trusted in God who stood firm. Jonathan chuckled, solid. It's not normally a description that's too flattering, he thought, especially if it's describing your figure. But when it comes to being able to cope with tough times, then solid, that's exactly what you want. When life's solid, you can't be shaken. Broken fences, sickness, bad weather, poor crops, none of it can shake you, because it's all come from the hand of a good God who controls it all. When life's solid, your present, your future, they're certain. You know where you're headed, you know why. When your life is solid, you know who you are, you know what your purpose is. Solid only comes for those who trust in the Lord, he thought, the one who made them, who saved them, who protects them and has a plan for them, a plan to always bring good things. Just like the next verse they sang, verse 2, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forevermore. Yep, thought Jonathan, that's solid. Protected and surrounded by God's goodness and wisdom and power. Protected by his purposes, his plans, his righteousness. Jonathan reached into his saddlebag and he pulled out a handful of barley and he gave it to his donkey to munch. He liked that the psalm didn't sugarcoat things, that it didn't pretend tough times never happened to God's people. You'd have to have your head stuck in the sand to think that. But when those winds blew, God would keep you from being shaken. When the enemies attacked, God would surround you like mountains so that you wouldn't be overcome. Family, sickness, enemies, they might all be bashing you, undermining your confidence, but none of it could shake you if you were solid. Solid, surrounded by God's promises. And Jonathan liked that last word, forevermore. God surrounds his people forevermore. When that happens, they can endure forever. Like that in verse 1, forever, he thought, that's a long time. He chuckled as he thought about some of the things that he trusted in. How long would they last? Trusting in his fences. A clumsy bull could ruin them in a moment. Trusting in his crops, weeds, locusts, drought could destroy in a moment. Trusting in the health of bodies, or the happiness of family, or the kindness of friends. None of that could last. None of it was forever, except for God, except for his protection, except for those who trusted in him. Jonathan gazed out at the mountains in the distance, the clear blue sky beyond those, stretching off into the distance, and he tried to get his head around the idea of forever. Bigger than big, longer than long, further than far. What was over the horizon? And what was beyond that? And beyond that, how far could he go? Or what about time? What happened after he died? 100, 1,000, 1,000,000 years. And yet God would hold him forever. What would that be like? Jonathan took a deep breath and he shook his head as if trying to shake the difficult ideas from his mind like dust from his sandals. The animals in front had started moving again, and as they did, he could hear the people sing verse 3. And Jonathan understood something of God's forever purposes. The scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous. For then the righteous might use their hands to do evil. What a contrast, he thought. God's people endure forever, but the wicked, even when they ruled, wouldn't remain. God had the wicked on a leash. Their time was short, and one day they'd get what was coming. All played out according to God's plans. Jonathan nodded with confidence. The wicked were so sure of themselves, so confident that they were in control and that they wanted nothing to do with God. But God was the one who snapped them into line, who cut them down to size. It was great to be reminded of the comparison, because on the surface it often looked like the wicked would last forever and the faithful would perish. It always seemed so hard, he thought, to be faithful, when the wicked always seemed to win. The temptation was to lower your standards a little bit, to compromise, to look the other way. Because surely that was the way to get ahead, to build your life. It was always tempting to think that the way to build your future was to put yourself first, when the reality was to do things God's way. That was the way to remain solid in the midst of storms. And that was the commitment that the people all around were calling for as they sang, as they got towards the end of the psalm, a prayer that God would bless those who looked to him. Verse 4, do good, O Lord, to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart. But those who turn to crooked ways, the Lord will banish with the evildoers. And as he joined in the singing, Jonathan's thoughts turned towards his own family, to his kids playing somewhere nearby. He prayed that God would do good for them, that he would keep them solid and protected, that he would keep them pure and upright as they followed him. And he thought of Miriam at home without them, waiting for the new baby. He wanted God to work good for her. A safe birth, a healthy baby. He wanted protection from harm for her, surrounded by God. And as he thought about his family, he nodded his head, a frown of determination crossing his brow. Yes, he would commit himself again to trusting God, the upright one, and commit himself again to be upright, to turn away from his sin, to deal with people like those neighbours the way he should, not the way they deserved. Because to be protected and surrounded by God forever, that was the most important thing in the world, to be solid and not shaken. And as the music slowed and got quieter, the people sang the final phrase of the song, Shalom, Al Yisrael, peace be upon Israel. That just about summed it up, he thought. A prayer for shalom, for peace. Not just the absence of war, but peace which was rest and protection. Peace which was comfort. Shalom was life at its best. Shalom was life lived with purpose and strength and richness and provision and satisfaction. Life that worked the way God designed it. Life lived his way. Just imagine, he thought, if that sort of life could be forever, what would that be like? Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken but endure forever. As Jonathan thought once more about those words, he came to the top of the final hill and he arrived at the imposing solid walls of Jerusalem. The main gates were crowded as people bustled in and out, hurrying to get all the shopping done before the feast. The dusty caravan of pilgrims eased their way through the gates into the noisy, teeming mass of stalls and people and animals. And as he emerged on the other side of the gates, the noise and the smells of the crowded city assaulted his senses. Sweat and food and animals and shopkeepers, yelling, hustle and bustle. It was overwhelming. Then, over all the noise, he heard a cry, "Jonathan!" His eyes scanned the crowd, and there, on the other side of the square, he saw the familiar face of his cousin, Abram. A huge grin, his eyes sparkling, his arms filled with provisions for the night's meal. But Jonathan waved back. He assembled the kids and he grabbed the donkey's rope and he headed across the courtyard. He could almost taste the Passover feast already. This year was going to be something special. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people both now and forevermore. And as he hugged and kissed Abram, he wished it was his wife Miriam he was hugging. But soon enough he'd be home and his family would have grown by one. He prayed the words of the psalm one more time for her as he led them down the street. "Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart. Peace be upon Israel." And as Jonathan settled in with his family for another Passover, little did he know how God would answer that prayer. That in the fullness of time he truly would do good and bring a forever peace. A good and a peace far greater and richer than Jonathan could imagine. Greater than peace between neighbours or peace from the rule of foreign armies. Good better than family feasts or the blessing of harvests or children. Little did he know that God's plan was to gather his people from every corner of the globe, from every language and nation, and bring them to a heavenly Jerusalem, where there would be a peace forever, untouched by war or evil or disease or death. And that God's plan was to provide a child, who the prophet Isaiah looked forward to, a child on whose shoulders would be the government of all these nations, and who'd be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there would be no end. He would reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time and forever. And little did Jonathan know that this child would win that peace through his own death. Not just peace between nations, but between God and humanity. His Prince of Peace would die as the once for all perfect Passover sacrifice in the place of sinners to deal with sin forever. The true sacrifice that all Passover lambs pointed towards. And so, children, as we come to the end of our story about Jonathan and his trip to the city, let's commit ourselves again to serve the God who surrounds and protects us, who gave us Jesus, and who does good to us, and who brings us peace forever. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that we might see your strong, wise, solid hands surrounding and protecting us, just like mountains surround us. When we're tempted to doubt, may we look to the cross and remember that you who gave us your only Son, surely you will give us all things, that in your Son we have that protection, that peace and that life, that abundant life. Might we live for you this week, trusting you, strong and protected and firm. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.